WPFW Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening, Bad News America. It's 7 p.m. and it's Tuesday night, and that means it's time for the Raucous Caucus here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. My name is Garland Nixon, and I'm here with
Terry D. Kester
and
Mark Levine.
And our special.
Did you say bad news?
Bad news.
Did you say that?
Bad news.
About
the Raucous Caucus.
And
that's right.
And our guest.
Because things are going
bad
to change.
News.
Because things, there's a change coming. That's what the Raucous Caucus brings. And if you want the status quo, if you want things to change, to stay as they are, then
that's
bad news. Bad news for the status quo, for the machine,
Let's introduce
the man. But at any rate, that's right. We got a bigger fish to fry here. Tonight we have a very special guest with us. We have Ramey. Ramey, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
If nominated, I will not accept. If elected, I will not serve.
Who says we're nominating?
Yeah, that's right.
Ramey is one of the brave,
really smart, courageous
people who donated enough to be a member of the Raucous Caucus for a day and to give us a topic and to share his wisdom with us.
Yeah,
so we're very glad he's here.
One of
with
the proud, the few, the pledge takers.
There you go. Yes, you actually, Ramey was a pledge taker and a pledge maker, which is a rare combination.
Well, he's multi talented. There's no question about it. You know.
Yep, and he's on us today, and we're all going. We're here for Terry. We are here.
All right.
For sagacity. We will share the, Terry, can we share the sagacity? Can you spare a little sagacity? In fact, I think I'm short this
week. I have so much sagacity that I can certainly spare a little bit for you. I'm not sure about Ramey and Mark, but for you.
But they gotta come up with their own
sagacity.
Why don't you share with us the topic that Ramey chose tonight?
We don't have it. Oh, wait a minute, there's a topic.
Yes,
and Ramey's here.
And Ramey chose it.
That's right.
Maybe he can express it.
And this is the
wrong thing. Do we get to vote on this?
Yeah.
We do?
Yeah.
We vote for Ramey's topic.
Yes, right.
Okay.
And Mark and I and Ramey all vote for his topic, Terry.
So
theoretically, it's a vote.
Yeah.
But in practical application, it's...
Sounds like the Tea Party.
Yeah, that's right. But it's,
so what are we... Ramey, tell us about your topic tonight. Unions? Wisconsin? What's happening?
You see, my grade for the day is it. No. there is an attack on organized labor across the country by... people who use an elephant as their symbol, better known as the Republican Party. Those are the very rich. And it stems from the governor abolishing collective bargaining rights.
Mm-hmm. Scott Walker
about
in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, yeah.
So, I mean, there's really no other purpose to have a union except to have collective bargaining rights.
Right.
So he's taking care of that. So, oh, he's exempted firefighters and police, which are primarily, of course, male jobs.
And the firefighters union and the police union endorsed him when he was running for
that's just a coincidence, Garland. It's just a coincidence. I should note, though, that in Ohio, the conservative Republican governor did not exempt the police and the firefighters, and they did not endorse him.
Also, obvious.
Also a coincidence. But Wisconsin, to its credit, had legislators who were willing to camp out in Illinois rather than to pass the collective
only
bargaining.
Democratic legislators.
Well, that's correct.
Yeah, no Republicans.
And a very lively grassroots population in Madison, Wisconsin, willing to occupy the Capitol before the Occupy movement started.
That's right. And they were preoccupied.
That's right. They were
preoccupied.
Very good. Very good. Preoccupied.
They were preoccupied with the...
They certainly were. And, of course, the big recall election.
That's
This Tuesday.
Today, right now.
No, it's a week from today.
Why are we doing the show then?
Because there's still time to influence minds and change opinions.
In Wisconsin?
You overestimate. I don't know how many Wisconsinites get our broadcast.
You overestimate our
Ramey,
signal.
Why
our
do you feel it's important to talk about this a week before the recall election?
If they get them, they get all of us. If he is able to pull this off, I think it's the end of organized labor in this country.
I think Ramey has a point. I think this election, more than almost any other, will be seen as a referendum on labor. Even though it's just in Wisconsin, even though it's the recall of the governor, this has been so publicized, and let's face it, there are a lot of people that want to see unions die and dance on their graves. If Walker is recalled, this will be seen as the saving force, the life unions have returned and have a chance to still succeed in America. And I think Ramey's right. If Walker wins, and by the way, the polls right now show him up 2 points.
Yeah,
it's close.
It's
very
within
close.
The margin of error.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely within the margin of error, and neither side's above 50%. So it's like 47-45, latest poll I saw.
It's about turnout.
Some 92% of Wisconsinites have already made up their mind, probably more like 95-96.
It's a much bigger issue, though, as Ramey was pointing out. It's a much bigger issue than just Wisconsin, because right now, for the first time since almost, I don't know, since the 1930s practically, the favorable impression of unions in the American public is less than 50% for the first time ever. It's gone down to, 45% now. Only 45% of Americans have a favorable view of unions. That's tragic.
Well, you had the PATCO action back in the early 80s, and I think that
the air traffic controllers under Reagan.
Yes, and they said they wanted a minimum starting salary of $38,000, which back then was a huge, huge salary. But collective bargaining, as we know it, you would never guess who made the first attack on that. It was President Jimmy Carter. He eliminated collective bargaining for federal employees.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's an interesting point.
And you've got to remember, too, all the right to work laws that got passed through, and that euphemism for right to work.
You shouldn't even use it.
You know, you really shouldn't, because, I mean, that also destroyed bargaining power all over the place for unions.
The right to kill unions.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons you can't get unions formed today.
Yeah,
I mean,
many states where you basically can't get a union going anymore. They've been pretty much outlawed, and I think that Mark's got a great point.
Mark has a great point.
Yeah, for a change.
Should we
even a stop?
I vote yes. Even though I don't know what Garland's referring to.
Even a stop clock is right.
Even though you don't know what the point was.
That's right. I still say that I agree with Garland that I had a great point.
Well, I don't remember what the point was now. You forgot. I got ADD over here. If you linger on the point too long, I don't remember what it was.
Sorry, Garland.
But whatever the case, whatever Mark's point was, trust me, it was a great point.
There you go.
And within the next 20 minutes or so, I'll tell you what the point was. Good work, Mark.
Well, yeah, because that's the last great point we're going to get out of Mark all night long.
Well, every year or so,
he peaked in the first 7 minutes.
I want to find out
from
Ramey what we've got planned today, because I know it's not just the Wisconsin recall. You want to bring in communication workers.
We're just going to do Wisconsin.
Communication
workers.
Oh, okay.
Just communicate.
There's
a communication problem.
Prior to the show, or I wouldn't have
mentioned it. We could say why we didn't communicate with you, but we don't want to do that.
Well, Mark's point has come back, so I got to talk about it before it drifts away again. And that is that what happened here is when Scott Walker went after the unions, there was a backlash, but a lot of the far right and the top 1% said to him, don't worry, you'll be all right. There's an immediate backlash. The union said, we're going to take this guy out. And so now what we're looking at is, if he survives, you're going to have the far right, you're going to have the anti-union right wingers saying to the rest of the governors and the rest of the right-wing politicians, look what happened to this guy, and he survived. You can go after the unions and survive. That's the problem.
There are two elections in Wisconsin. We shouldn't only focus on the recall of the governor. Remember that they're doing two separate recall elections of the senators. Now, the Republicans were ahead 14 to 11. Get my numbers right. No, it was 15 to 10. Yes, it was 15 to 10, and then they could only recall the people who'd been around a while in the heavy Republican districts, and they needed three for the Democrats to control. They did two, so now Republicans still control the Senate 13 to 12.
Right.
All we need is one more. I actually think I don't know whether we're going to get rid of Walker or not. I think it's going to be very close. I fear we're going to lose that.
Right.
I do think, however, the Democrats will take over the Senate. And if Democrats take over the Senate and take over the House of Wisconsin, Walker will still veto the bill, but at least they can
can't solve the problem.
I don't think they'll have enough to override it, though. But still, to have enough, at least if the Democrats take over the Senate, they won't make things worse.
And they'll be able to take a stand on other issues, and they will be able to send the message to politicians, even though he survived, that there's a price to pay.
Right.
Unfortunately, the Democrats do not show up in special elections to vote.
Let's hope that trend doesn't continue.
That you're right, Ramey.
Normally, you're absolutely right.
I don't know about this one. I think that every single person in Wisconsin is very much focused on this particular race. This is highly unusual to have a special election to have this much focus. Yeah. I mean, it's highly unusual to have a recall. I can't recall us ever even talking about a special election on the Raucous Caucus before. But that's particularly in another state.
Because this is about one of the issues of our time.
It's much bigger than Wisconsin.
And this is about the issue that defined the middle class in America, which was union.
Unionism. Did you know that his campaign is largely being influenced by drug dealers?
I haven't heard that.
The Koch brothers.
No, yeah.
Well, they are drug dealers.
Yes, right. There are a couple of dopes, I tell you that.
Well, the other thing is that he's getting a lot of money from out of state.
Yeah, of course.
And tremendous amounts, and of course, all the business interests.
Another thank you note to the Supreme Court.
Well, because they know that if they can punish unions in Madison, Wisconsin, that liberal city, then all across the nation. This really is a last gasp for unions, and I don't know if any of our listeners are
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's crucial, but last gasp is going a little too far.
Unions have been declining regularly ever since Jimmy Carter in the 1970s.
They got to change their tactics, and we got to talk about the unions have to change their tactics.
How would you change their tactics?
Well, the same way good old corporate America does, you know? Advertising and marketing. And take
outsourcing.
Take Chevron as a perfect example, and the unions haven't learned how to do this. I mean, Chevron's one of the worst offenders in terms of oil crises and everything else in Nigeria and everything else. I mean, it's a terrible company.
But they got those spiffy ads out,
and everybody thinks Chevron is wonderful. Take BP, which destroyed the Gulf, and it's still a mess. Look at their new ads about how wonderful it is.
I saw a picture of it.
Unfortunately, it works.
What do you think, Ramey? Unions have to do that. Do you think union ads will help? Ads on TV.
And if not, what do you think unions should do? What direction do you think they should go in?
First of all, let me put in a word for Chevron. They make money the old-fashioned way. They steal it.
Yeah, right. That is the old-fashioned way.
In terms of the corporations, this is what they do. They relocate to these right-to-work states. That's the first thing they
do. Hello, Boeing.
Boeing, AT&T, name it. They've pulled out of these so-called closed shop states.
Now they're leaving even South Carolina to go to India and China and Thailand, where Mexico, where the wages are even cheaper than the poor non-union workers in the red states.
Boeing, do you think that'll fly?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But I'm pumped. Where's that little drum?
Where they have, I think that'll fly. Well, I understand that a lot of those countries have a right to die, you know, under unsafe working conditions. A right to be locked in and beaten.
A right for 10-year-olds to work.
Yeah, right.
Let me give you one example that you brought up Boeing and how crucial this is. I mean, there are practically no commercial airlines anymore that service their planes for maintenance in the United States.
That's right.
Because in other countries, it's not nearly as tightly as regulated. So every airplane you're flying on, I don't care if it's United, I don't care if it's Delta, I don't care who it is.
It's been contracted out to contractors who've subcontracted.
I'm already worried.
You better be worried. It's really a big problem. And it's, again, because simply to fight against the
unions. I like Amtrak. It's okay.
Yeah. Speaking of... It's 7:15, guys.
Oh, wow.
And it's time for us to change tracks because we have we still have our guest on the line.
This is Ramey's guest. To be clear.
Right. Ramey has invited. Yeah, that's right. Ramey's guest. And our guest is Paulette Feld. Ramey, introduce Paulette Feld.
We are privileged to have her. She is a staff rep for the Wisconsin State Employees Association. They are spearheading and heavily influencing, we hope, this recall of Governor Walker, so-called Governor Walker.
Yeah.
He governs for the wealthy, but not the working person. So we were very privileged to get her on.
You there, Paulette?
I'm here. Oh. And actually, I'm not a staff rep. I'm actually the president of the union.
Oh, my goodness.
Not a president. Forgive us. We are not. Can we elect you governor of Wisconsin, or is that not in the cards?
I'm going to say two words which I've never said in my life. My bad.
Who does?
Well, we are not worthy to be in your presence here. We are the Raucous Caucus here on WPFW 89.3 FM, its Pacific affiliate here in Washington, D.C. And thank you very much for coming on. So tell us, what's happening? Is Governor Walker about to walk out the door, or how do you see things for next week?
Well, things are really close, and we're all working really hard. There's a lot of canvassing going on, and actually, I don't live in Madison. I live in Oshkosh.
She's a real Wisconsinite.
100 miles east of Madison.
I was at your air show last year. Oh, everybody should go. It's a great air show. It's incredible.
In Oshkosh and up north in Superior and all around the state, we're all doing the same thing they're doing in Madison. We're knocking on doors, just reminding people to vote. next week Tuesday and getting people to vote early. Absentee voting has been really high, which from what I'm reading means, you know, good things for the Dems. We hope that continues. So we're all optimistic that we can do this.
Paulette, one of the things that I don't understand, maybe I just don't understand it nationwide, I don't understand it in
Wisconsin.
There's
a lot of things Mark doesn't understand. This is just one of the many.
That's two or three shows.
Absolutely. But one of the many things I don't understand is the support for Scott Walker. I get it from the big corporations, but they're not that many big corporations in Wisconsin. Who are the people, the non-rich people, shall we say, who are opposing you?
Well, you know, I guess if somebody can find that answer and tell me what it is, you know.
She doesn't understand either.
See? Because I can drive past somebody's house that looks worse than my house does.
Yeah.
And they have a huge I Stand With Walker sign in
front
of it.
Have you talked with them?
And I'm like, really? You live in that house? And you have that sign in front of your house?
Have you talked with them? Is it cultural? What is it?
I don't understand either.
Yeah, they think. Yeah, good.
I'm just curious if you've actually talked to some of those voters and at least convey, if they can convey to you why they, I mean, is it that they've demonized unions in Wisconsin? Is that what it's about?
It's a whole issue of pitting. When Walker started this on February 11th, 2011, he used the term haves and have-nots, meaning the public employees are the haves because we have our pension, which is one of the most successful.
So it's divide and conquer.
Pension system. Yeah, his divide and conquer video that came up a couple weeks ago. It's the whole mentality. And I think, too, a lot of what he's done is he's made education a bad thing, like it's happening all over the country, but he's devastated the University of Wisconsin system, which is where I work. I work at UW Oshkosh, mm-hmm. and he's made it, you know, so that education isn't a good thing. Well, you know, what do you expect from a governor who doesn't even have a college degree? He doesn't even have a bachelor's degree, and he's running our state. So, you know, from the get-go, I was like, what is this man all about, even before he was elected, and we found out pretty quickly. So, I don't know. It's just crazy when you talk to those people.
Yeah, Paulette, is he justifying everything in terms of the economy? I mean, is that the card that he's playing, and this is all about?
You know, that's what he said in the beginning. It was about the money and that Wisconsin was broke. And if you remember, he went before Congress and he told them, you know, it was all about the money. It wasn't to break the unions. And his divide and conquer video has really challenged that whole thing. And apparently some of the Congress is asking him if he wants to recant his statements from that testimony that he made.
Good.
So we're waiting till June 1st to see if he's going to do that, but I'm not holding my breath on that either.
Yeah, Raymond?
Well, the candidate you backed was soundly defeated, Kathleen
Correct.
Falk, I believe. How did that change your strategy? And secondly, for whatever reason, if you're not able to pull this off, what happens next?
That's a really good question. I think it's going to be just keeping doing what we're doing right now, trying to get all our past members and those who we've represented in the past to, we're calling it recommitting to the union. Mm-hmm. Our union has been doing that since last August. And, you know, it varies from workplace to workplace. On whether or not people will sign up and pay dues to, we're still able to represent employees. We just don't have a contract. And what I tell people is for the majority of the time that we've had a union for state employees in Wisconsin, our union started in 1932. This month we're celebrating our 80th anniversary. And, until the 50s, we didn't have collective bargaining, and we just got what we did by legislation and working toward goals in that direction. So that's where we're going to end up going again, and hope people support us and keep us going until we can change the government in Madison.
But I don't want it to sound so defeatist or anything like that. I mean,
what are you talking about, Mark? They're going to win.
Well,
surely going to win.
You've seen later polls, I'm sure, than I have. Give us a realistic assessment of where this race stands, because I guess I don't want to talk about next steps if you lose yet. I ain't conceding this race. What's it like on the ground? What are our real chances?
It's, you know, from day to day, even somebody like me and the, you know, the people who are working the doors and going door to door, you know that it's a battle and that, you know, it could go either way just because it's so close and so divided equally, and it is a matter of who gets most people to turn out to vote, because mm-hmm. undecided, there's something like 4%. And mm-hmm. so you go back and forth from one day to the next. Tom Barrett had an excellent debate with Walker last week, Friday, when the debate ended and the candidates had a chance to ask each other questions. Scott Walker decided he didn't have to ask Tom Barrett any questions and just let it go, which was very curious. And he didn't have his normal swagger at that debate. So mm-hmm.
Did Barrett win the debate solidly? What did the commentators say about the debate? Because we don't hear about those things outside of Wisconsin. What's the general consensus?
The commentators, you know, there hasn't been a lot in the press about it, although it was interesting to see that the media, which usually doesn't come down hard on the press people for the candidates, started coming down a little harder on Walker's press person. They asked her questions about where Walker's money was coming from and how much time he spent in office, because that's one of the big questions out there. And she did her normal trying to avoid the question, and they kept repeating the question, which was really startling because you don't see that a lot from the media in Wisconsin these days. So,
Paula,
that was good.
Put a face on this, too. Which workers are we talking about specifically? Who are these workers? What is their situation today? How many have lost jobs or are in danger of losing jobs? Have their salaries been cut? Has the pensions been negated? Put a face on it in terms of your membership and what these people.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the local, my local that I was president of at UW-Oshkosh. Represents some of the lowest paid employees who work for the state, the custodians, the blue collar workers, and some of the lower paid clerical workers, primarily women. And when this all started, I sat down and figured out what the average hourly earnings for the people in my local, which was about 350 people. The average wage was about $15.50. And when we had to start paying more for our health insurance mm-hmm. and for our pensions, for somebody who had a family health care plan, that's over $200 a month that comes out of their paycheck that didn't come out before August of 2011. So they're hurting. And when you talk to these people and you ask them to recommit to the union, it's hard for them to say yes, because you know, $36 a month is a lot of money to somebody who's had that kind of cut.
Yeah.
So this legislation is doing what its intent was, to make people unable to belong to a union. And as far as our pension is safe. It's in good shape. We have great investments. It's been recognized around the world as one of the best public pension plans around, and so there's no danger that it's going to go bankrupt or anything like that, as long as Walker's next step isn't to do something to the pension. And the fear is if he wins the recall, that might be the next thing he attacks besides right to work for private unions. So there's a lot riding on this.
Had you ever considered, or are the federal courts a vehicle for you, or was that viable? And also, had you ever considered a strike?
We actually did file some lawsuits in federal court in relation to the legislation, and a federal judge in Madison actually found in favor of the union that he did not treat us equally because he didn't do the same thing to the police and firefighters that he did to us. And the judge found in our favor in that lawsuit and said that the state had to allow us to collect dues and to be able to do payroll deductions. But, of course, the state has challenged that ruling, and it's bogged down in the courts now, like everything else that we've done. So that's where we are at with that. But we've got some great lawyers working for us. We have our former attorney, Wisconsin Attorney General, is one of our attorneys. She's doing a great job. So we have a lot of faith in the legislation, but that all just takes a lot of time.
And what about the strike? I mean, Ramey asked about the strike. And what can you strike?
There was a lot of talk back and forth about that in 2011 in February. But there was a lot of fear from the membership that the same thing that happened with the PACO strike in the 80s would happen to us. So it didn't get very far, especially outstate. I think something like that probably could have happened in Madison. But people have to remember that this isn't just a Madison issue. It's the whole state that's been affected by what he's done. It's our teachers, it's the city and county employees, as well as the state employees. So it's got a big grasp on the citizens of Wisconsin.
And of course, people are struggling. So to strike and not get a pay, particularly with the economy like it is now, could you know, really be difficult for the employees. Out of state money, we hear names like the infamous Koch brothers. I would imagine that the TVs and that every now and then you actually see a TV program between all of the political ads coming in from the out-of-state money right now in Wisconsin.
It's been pretty constant and consistent that there's Scott Walker commercials, and there's also a lot of third-party commercials on, and they're back-to-back, and maybe sandwiched in is one Pro-Barrett commercial or something like that, if you're lucky.
So, Paula, there's Senate recall elections as well? I mean, if you win the Senate back, then at least Walker couldn't pass worse stuff for you.
That's correct, and that's been our saving grace for probably about 4 or 5 months now.
Are you going to win the Senate
right
back and the House?
The Senate is 16-16.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you just need one more. And do you think you're going to get the Senate back?
We need one more to get the majority. That's correct. And I actually live in one of the Senate districts that won a recall last year. We defeated one of the Republican senators, and we have a Democrat, Jessica King, as our senator right now. So we know it can be done here in the 18th Senate district in Wisconsin. So we just want the rest of the state to know that it can be done.
Real quick, the House, can you win that too? Or is that not up?
The assembly is going to be tougher because the numbers are a lot more skewed toward the Republicans.
No.
And so we're not putting a lot of hope in being able to win that over this fall. But what I'm seeing on the ground is that we have a lot more of the districts that have been traditionally Republican and not even challenged by Democrats, that there's Democratic challengers out there. So that's a good thing. It leads to hope, depending on what happens with the governor's recall. You know, maybe we can do it. I know in
I hate to break in.
Had a Republican, and there's three Republicans and three Democrats running for that seat before the primary. So there's a lot of interest out there.
Well, thanks a lot, Paulette. Hate to break it up early, but we're about to, we're on a half hour. We got to go to break. You're listening to 89.3 FM WPFW. We have Paulette Feld, president of the Wisconsin State Employees Association. This is the Raucous Carcass. I'm Garland Nixon with
Mark Levine
and
Terry D. Kester
and
Ramey.
And we'll be right back.
Don't go away.
Louder Than a Bomb, the world's largest youth poetry slam based in Chicago and recently featured on Oprah's OWN network, is coming to D.C. On Saturday, June 2nd at George Washington University, 12 high school teams from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia will engage in the friendly performance poetry competition known as Slam. When else do students from Ballou High in Southeast meet students from Montgomery Blair? When do DCPS students from Northeast share personal stories with students from Arlington? Louder Than a Bomb is bringing our youth together across lines of race, religion, class, and neighborhood manhood to share and honor each other's creative writing and performance. Louder Than a Bomb DMV is all day, Saturday, June 2nd, and the Grand Slam Finals start at 7 p.m. in George Washington's Betts Theater. Tickets can be purchased at ltabdmv.eventbrite.com. Email slam@splitthisrock.org for more information, or check us out at ltabdmv.tumblr.com. WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, serving the collective need and imagination of the community.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. It's Tuesday, 7:30. That means we are in the middle of the Raucous Caucus here on 89.3.
We've never been in the middle. Get honest, Garland. We haven't been close to the middle.
We're still on it. We're maybe about 10% in. Okay.
And by the way, I do want to announce, normally we switch every month, Ben's Next Door, but next week we will not be at Ben's Next Door.
So we're
going to be here in studio. So don't go to Ben's Next Door. Come listen to us on the radio. Call in. We're going to have a regular in studio. We'll be at Ben's the week following in 2 weeks. And so that's June 12th. So I just wanted to announce that, you expect us in studio. Don't show up at Ben's next week. We're going to be in studio one more week.
Actually doing some repairs and stuff. So I don't think the restaurant is even going to be open at this time.
Right.
Doing some kitchen repairs.
Exactly.
So you listen to the Raucous Caucus, 89.3 FM, WPFW in Washington, D.C. My name is Garland Nix, and I'm here with
Mark Levine
and
Terry D. Kester.
And our guest, the WPFW supporter and noted D.C. intellectual,
Ramey. Just for a pledge of $1 million, you can have dinner at the White House next week.
I knew you'd get that in there, Ramey.
I want to thank Ramey for Paulette, because I thought she was terrific. Oh, she really conveyed, I mean, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That's the talk about middle America right there. Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And this is a battle in middle America for the heart and soul of America.
Yeah,
and I'm nervous. I'm really nervous.
Yeah, I remember my daughter had a little pink jumpsuit that had Oshkosh on it. Yeah?
Really?
Well, that's a long time. But, I mean, I mentioned the air show. That air show, you know, that is actually the largest air show in the world.
Really?
10,000 different kinds of airplanes there. It's unbelievable.
Ramey, what are your thoughts on Paulette?
It's a great town. It's a great town.
I think everybody in organized labor, disorganized labor, whatever, needs to line up solidly behind them. I mean, there's so much at stake right here. I mean, so much.
You mentioned, of course, the primary battle. There was a primary battle in the Democratic Party. And, you know, that happens, and I'm not going to take sides in that. But once it's chosen, I really hope everyone unifies behind Tom Barrett, who's not a bad guy. He isn't. In fact, he may be more likely. The polls showed him slightly more likely to beat Walker than the one he ran against. So, again, I'm not taking sides in that intra-party dispute.
I am.
But
they didn't got to get Walker out.
Well, okay.
Anything, anything to get Walker
fair
out.
Fair enough. But
we want him to use a Walker.
But I wanted to ask that, too, because I mean, you just brought it up and referred to it. Are the unions nationally or even internationally, are the national unions supporting? Are they helping, Ramey?
Well, I understand worldwide there's contributions, there's donations, there's support coming out. Local pizza parlors are donating free. They were when they had to sit in there. It looks like there is momentum behind them. But, you know, if you listen to the polls and watch the polls, let me say one thing about the polls. Early on, the polls showed Ronald Reagan losing.
You're right.
So, I mean, anything can happen here. I mean, the U-word, an upset. Down to the last wire, down to the wire, anything
but
can happen.
But are the national unions throwing in any support?
You don't hear anything from the AFL-CIO.
Well, let me give out the number before, real quick. We have some people out there, I'm sure, out in...
They better be calling the AFL-CIO, they better be doing.
Members of the caucus out amongst the
who
civilian.
Want to share their
202
sagacity.
That's right, 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893, you know, like 89.3 FM, 0893. Call in, be a part of the Raucous Caucus. We got lines open.
Yeah, what are your thoughts about Wisconsin and the recall? What does it mean for unions?
I'm going to put in a plug right now, though. I mean, you got people, you know, call the station, call us and join us in the Raucous Caucus, but you got to call the AFL-CIO and say, what the heck is going on? Why aren't you involved in this?
Are you saying the national unions aren't involved in Wisconsin?
You don't hear about it.
Do you hear anything significant? doing it?
But,
I haven't.
But we don't know that they are or they aren't.
Well, they're not making it very big, and this is a national issue.
They've become the silent majority.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Well, I agree it's a national issue, no doubt about it, because what happens in Wisconsin will not stay in Wisconsin.
Well, though, here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out what's happening on line one with Alan. Alan, welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Uh-oh, we're losing Alan. Alan, I hope you
got it. I just turned down his radio.
Turn down your radio, Alan.
All y'all talk about, and I used to be a shop steward in the Industrial Union of Marine and Shipbuilding Workers of America for 11 years. And I was a shop steward in the Amalgamated Municipal Employees for 3 years. Unions have sold us out. They've tied the workers' hands to the tails of the Democratic Party. Don't look for them to do anything. Don't look for them to do anything but to channel workers' anger into the Democratic Party.
Well, are you saying that Scott Walker's better? I mean, come on.
I'm saying that we have to break with the electoral mode. Lenin said, and what is to be done, there are two kinds of people, two kinds of worker, the good trade union secretary or the tribune of the people. You're never going to get the AFL-CIO to be tribune
to
the people.
So let me ask you this. Alan, let me ask you a question so you can clarify things. I want to know where you're coming from. So are you saying that you are anti-union or that you are...
No, I'm not saying I'm anti-union. I am saying that the unions are... The AFL-CIO and their union hacks have become essentially arms of the bourgeoisie.
Wait. So the Democratic Party is the bourgeoisie. What are the Republicans?
Yes.
The monarchy? I mean, come on.
Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the twin-headed monsters.
So revolution? You want to overthrow? Well, I mean, look, the only way you're going to get Scott Walker out of there, I got news for you, Alan, is for the Democratic Party to vote someone there.
It's about the system, the capitalist system, and people need to stop looking at these little... Like the oil on the shop floor and who's... because I was a shop steward for 11 years.
I'd like to hear Ramey's point of view on this.
And the union red-baited the hell out of me.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. Hey, we had an enthusiastic caller there. I'll give Ramey, what's your thoughts on Alan? He lost me a little bit, buddy.
If he was a shop steward for 11 years, I'm glad he wasn't there for 12.
Okay.
It's perfectly fair to criticize the Democratic Party. Yeah. It's being insufficiently progressive and run in those primary elections. That's all fair and good. But in this election right now, it is Scott Walker versus Democrat Tom Barrett. Yeah. You can't tell me that Democrat Tom Barrett isn't better than Scott Walker. So sometimes you got to hold your nose, and even if you don't like both parties, and vote for the lesser of two evils. I strongly believe that.
Where are the Teamsters, Ramey? Are they involved in this?
Not in this. I mean, they have their own.
I mean, this is obscene if there aren't, you know, the
unions.
But
keep in mind, Terry, and I think we have to be careful for this reason. We have to be very careful.
Careful what?
Because if we say, where are the Teamsters or where are the AFL-CIO, if we maybe possibly insinuate that they're not involved.
I don't know that they're not involved.
And we don't have all the details, because it may very well be that they're very much involved, and I would hate to make statements like that only to get an email from some people that are involved in this tomorrow saying,
as Ramey has brought
out
and Mark is about, this is a national issue. This is not about Oshkosh. This is not about Walker. This is not about Wisconsin. This is a national issue, and the unions need to be involved nationally.
Maybe, but you understand my point. I'm saying
if you haven't seen anything, it ain't there. We're not.
They're not running ads in Washington D.C. because we're not voting in this election.
And the fact of the matter is, just because we haven't seen anything does not mean that they're not there.
Are you kidding? With social media and everything else, there was no reference to them by Paulette.
Just because we don't know it, don't mean it ain't true. But I'm telling you, who does know it? Marvin knows it, and he's online too, and he's going to straighten you out, Terry. Marvin, straighten somebody out here. Ramey, Mark, somebody.
Hello, Marvin.
Hello?
Yes, Marvin.
You're on the air, Marvin.
Very good. I'm Mark. How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Another day at the beach.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for the recall of Scott Walker. Definitely. And, I don't hear that much on your show. I hear a lot of criticism of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And, I mean, rightfully so. Okay. I mean, but I don't hear enough criticism about the Democratic Party, though.
We had an Obama intervention. You must have missed that one.
As far as the economy, I think Democrats have not done hardly anything for the economy at all.
Democrats shoot themselves in the foot. What did they ever help for?
The whole accountable, this financial institution that we live under, Wall Street, the banking system, you know, I think they have done hardly nothing.
What do you think should be done, Marvin? Because I got to tell you, it's easy to complain. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's easier to give problems than solutions.
I'm just stating facts.
What do you think is the solution?
I mean, what I think solutions is the American people. I mean,
do what? You know, what are you looking for?
To the streets?
Instead of being ripped off. You know,
right, but what would you have the Democratic Party do?
The amount of money that, I mean, they've stolen trillions of dollars out of people's 401ks. The housing market is still, in disarray. I mean, there's still a lot of foreclosures out here.
Let me throw this out there, because there are people, for people who said, oh, the Democrats haven't done enough. Keep in mind, if you pay attention to economics worldwide, what happened? The global economy collapsed. Europe and all of these other countries in Europe, they decided to move completely towards austerity, towards cutting. And the Republican Party and the right wing in our country said, that's what we have to do.
That's
right. Barack Obama and the Democratic Party moved towards stimulus.
Right, which is why we're not in the same basket in the case that Europe's in right now.
Even though it was an anemic, let me finish this. Even though our growth was anemic, we had growth. And guess what's happened 4 years later? All of these countries, the British and the European countries who went with austerity, who fell back into recession, are now all coming together saying, reluctantly, well, you know, guys, I think we better do what Barack Obama and the Democratic Party did in the
interrupt this program to activate the emergency alert system for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan operational area because of a local weather emergency.
The National Weather Service in Sterling, Virginia has issued a flash flood warning until 10:30 tonight for Montgomery County, the city of Manassas and Manassas Park, as well as western Prince William County, southeastern Loudoun County, east central Fauquier County, western Fairfax County. All of those areas under a flash flood warning until 10:30 tonight. Doppler radar showing thunderstorms capable of producing flash flooding along the line from South Riding to 8 miles south of Haymarket, moving east to 15 miles an hour. Some locations affected by this heavy rain are Colburn, Ashburn, Mulberry, Somerville, Chantilly, Dulles Airport, Haymarket, Herndon, Manassas, Ruston, Brambleton, Broadlands, and South Riding. Repeat now, the National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning until 10:30 for parts of Montgomery County and Prince William County in Maryland and Virginia, both Manassas and Manassas Park in Virginia, southeastern Loudoun County, Fauquier County, western Fairfax County, no longer a flash flood warning until 10:30 tonight.
Repeat now, the National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning until 10:30 for parts of Montgomery County and Prince William County in Maryland and Virginia.
Coming up from Dr. Hahn.
Tart and tangy with an underlying sweetness, vapor and juiciness that rivals the ever-popular orange, and it sparkles with many of the same health benefits, so stay tuned.
743.
Whether you're buying your first home, refinancing, or getting ready to build that house you've always dreamed of, look no further than Sandy Spring Vantage for all of your mortgage needs. This is Dan Schrider, President and CEO of Sandy Spring Bank. At Sandy Spring Bank, you'll always work with knowledgeable mortgage lenders who, just like you, live and work in our community. As a local bank, all loan decisions are made right here. We get to know our clients on a level that national banks cannot. We offer the same highly...
Teamsters endorsed the Republican president.
I need better internet.
I'm going to bet it's about the 50th.
Let's check.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
but meanwhile, we got to go to Tesla, because Tesla has big things to say about the unions. Tesla, what do you have to tell us about the unions tonight?
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening,
Tesla.
Our brother, Tesla.
Thank you. Labor unions, progressives, young college students, hardworking people, we all need to stop bickering within ourselves, get out and tell our truth and the injustice done to us, and convince people to vote for our cause. Also multiply our force, not only tell our truth to individuals, but also ask the individuals we tell our truth to go and convince other people and multiply our force and believe in winning. Win without winning, you cannot have your way. We cannot sit and talk among ourselves. We cannot sit and believe truth is on our side and God is on our side. Even God said, go out and work and gain and benefit. Without working hard for our cause, we cannot talk among ourselves and have God give us. We have to go out and work and get and pray to God.
Thank you.
That truth wins. But truth wins only when we work hard for it.
I want you to move to Madison. I want you for governor.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. We need to
test
for governor. Absolutely.
Delta's ready when you are.
Well, look, we've got on the line, we've got Roland.
Well, let's give out the number, 202-588-0893, if you want to join this conversation. Go ahead.
Let's roll.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Roland.
Well, I called a while back thinking I wanted to comment about what the union president had said about Scott Walker's testimony before Congress. I do have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. But then that caller that was going on about the Democrats just being as bad as the Republicans and this and that, I just can't let that slip.
Okay.
The House of Representatives under Nancy Pelosi really did deliver.
Yep.
And what they didn't deliver
was an
advertising campaign to toot their own horns. But we don't have time to get into, you know, retread on what happened between 2009 and 2010 elections. But the back to Scott Walker, I can't believe that we don't have somebody stepping forward from the national,
Amen.
Putting up money to advertise, going after Scott Walker's testimony before Congress. It's all fine and good for a few congressmen to be asking him if he's got any desire to retract his statements, but those statements are on video. They're right there. It's red meat. It's exactly what the Republicans would do to Democrats.
Is it Roger Clemens right now? Isn't there a baseball player that's been put on trial because he went before Congress and said that he didn't use steroids?
Hello, can we say Oliver? What was his name? Lieutenant Colonel? What was his name?
Oliver North? Oliver North, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with putting it out there in the advertisement, slamming it, and saying, and so far he has refused to reply to Congress. All of that would be true. It would be so helpful. If it's 50-50 now, I think it would swing to 70-30.
That's really a good point, Roland. Let me ask too, because I think I'm complaining because the national unions aren't involved. Where's the Democratic Party on this? Where's any national senators or representatives? Are any of them involved in this? And if
Absolutely.
Not, why not? This is insane.
Why aren't they stepping forward now with just 1 week left?
Yeah. I mean, it's obscene. Again, I'm saying again, you should be calling your unions right now and complaining if you believe in this at all. You should be calling your representatives here locally and nationally and saying, why aren't you supporting this movement? Why aren't you supporting this recall? Are you pro-labor or not?
And
that's really the question. It's not even as much pro-union. Are you pro-labor? That's really the question.
And even more importantly, you should be calling the Raucous Caucus at 202-588-0893.
We've
got
important.
A couple lines open because nothing can happen. Do you realize that we are the hub of all activity.
I know this. Wisconsin is one of the few times I've ever given to an out-of-state election. I've actually gave money in the recall effort myself because I know how – because it's not just about Wisconsin. Because
no,
I know
not.
It's a national issue. And I encourage people to help Tom Barrett or to help any of the – if you don't want to support him, support the local senators that are running to bring back some dignity to Wisconsin.
Who are the senators right now for the United States Congress from Wisconsin?
The Herb Kohl and there's the Republican
they threw out Feingold.
Feingold seat.
That's
Kohl
a
is like
itself.
A moderate Democrat. He's not bad.
Okay, has he taken any stand on this at all?
Oh yeah, he supports the recall effort.
Okay.
But why did they kick Feingold?
He's much more quiet.
Why did
he lost? The reason Feingold lost is because he did the right wrong thing. Exactly. He
did not use
PAC funds. He did not use corporate funds. He was too pure, and I really respect. I think he's a great guy.
An endangered species.
Well, he is. He stood by his principles and lost by his principles.
And see, that's the thing about it. You know, I do not believe when people say, "Well, why is Barack Obama taking this kind of money or that kind of money?" I don't believe in going to the bottom of the sea with my principles tied around my neck.
That's what Feingold did, and I respect that, but there's no such thing as
second place.
Well, you remember Adlai Stevenson, there was a line, well, it's a true story, a woman said to him, "Thinking people will vote for you." He said, "That won't help me. I need a majority."
That's right.
Yes, right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
We have Yuchi. Guess what? We have on line one, Yuchi. Yuchi, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going?
Everything's going wonderful.
Okay, you know, this recall thing, I think there are two points. One, this guy was talking about how, you know, a lot of people don't like to let pass the statement that, you know, Democrats are just as bad as Republicans. And I've always said that, but I'll concede that Democrats are simply the lesser of the two terrible, terrible evils. And I tell you, don't forget all the things that Democrats have done to us, you know, and some of the guys, like the signing of the 2012 Defense Authorization Bill, where we can now send U.S. citizens to Guantanamo somewhere without trial. But you know, enough of that. I think what Wisconsin shows is what someone told me, actually a couple of people have told me. Americans are among the most educated people on the planet and among the dumbest on the entire world. and it astonishes me how you could have anybody voting for a platform that says, you know what, the rich should get richer, and anything that we can't hold in our pockets, hopefully as we walk, it falls out, and then you could be there to grab it. Because that's essentially what anything that does not try to empower a regular human being is all about. And yet, you have people, you know, poor people, you know, middle-class people, working-class people, that are supporting this Walker guy. I mean, it's beyond belief. And so you wonder why a lot of people are just like, I just can't be bothered, because it just doesn't make any sense at all.
It truly doesn't. It's tragic. But it does make sense in one way, because what's happening, of course, is big money is throwing major advertising into the issue, and they're having enormous effect. And everybody in America that I know pretends that they're not influenced by advertising, which is really interesting, since these companies, pharmaceuticals and everybody else, and are putting billions of dollars in advertising. It must kind of work. And somebody's got to really realize that. And
especially the negative ads.
Real quick, so I can get off the phone. You know, we love to say it's money in advertising, but I tell you what, just by listening to me, estimate how much money could you pay me to walk in front of a train coming down a track at 76 miles an hour?
Probably not enough.
How much time do you think it would take? Just give me a cigarette.
I don't think people don't see the demise of unions.
I mean, look. How much money would you think it would take for me to like?
So you're trying to tell us that you are not influenced by advertising.
He's trying to say is people don't realize that the demise of unions in Wisconsin or nationally is a freight train running over.
And see, here's what's happened.
Let's hear what he's trying to say, because I'm still not clear. Is he still?
He's not there.
Sorry.
I think he's going to say is here's the problem that people have been convinced, if we want to use his metaphor. That people have been convinced that it's in their best interest to walk in front of a train, basically. So people are convinced that, well, you know, some guy making $30,000 a year as a transmission salesman has been convinced that Mitt Romney and Scott Walker are looking out for his interest, and that all he has to do is go along with them and his life will be better. That if taxes are cut for Warren Buffett,
you got to get to the basic question. And why are they convinced? And how did they get convinced?
Let me say this.
And sooner or later, that's the question that has to be faced.
I blame you for most of
it.
I just blame you.
I haven't got that much money, but if you think so, yeah.
There is an article in the Washington Post that says. That says, and I think it's actually a fairly interesting article. This is by Greg Sargent, The Plumb Line. He says that, of course, we know that the Wisconsin Democrats have complained the National Party hasn't helped them in the race. And what their response was is that polls suggest that very few Wisconsin voters are persuadable. There's been huge pro-Walker ad expenditures. This goes against what you're saying, Terry. There's been massive pro-Walker ad expenditures, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 to 1, and the numbers have barely budged, which which means that, according to Greg Sargent, I think he's right, the race will be decided by turnout. So they do need to put money in the race, not necessarily on the ads to persuade
boots on
people,
the ground.
But to get voters to actually vote.
Get boots on the ground, to get people to knock on doors.
And where are these small unions like her union that we had that spoke to her? That's a 350 membership. They can't even afford to pay their union dues. Where's that money going to come from, gentlemen?
It's going to come from you, Terry.
Yeah.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
That's right, Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Terry. You're very generous. You're a good man. You're a gentleman.
You guys continue to live in this dream world, you know, that these things don't have a major effect. And
we're not saying it doesn't
have
a major effect.
And they will have the major effect when it comes down to it.
And stop criticizing my dream world. I've been living in this dream world for a long time, and I've started to like it, tell you the truth.
Are the students eligible to vote? Like, University of Wisconsin?
Well, that's the other thing, is that Republicans are doing their best to keep students from voting all across the country. They have these laws that say you can't vote at home because you need to show up in person, and you can't vote where your school is because that's not your permanent residence. So guess what, folks? You can't vote.
Yeah.
Which I think, by the way, is a violation of the 26th Amendment to the Constitution, which says you can't discriminate against people 18 years of age.
George W. Bush took care of the Constitution.
Yeah, right. The Constitution, what's that?
Yeah, but states always have the right to determine the voting.
Oh, by the way, the 26th Amendment would overrule the states, and it says, quote, the right of citizens in the United States who are 18 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of age.
That's for federal elections.
No, I think that's for voting.
He's right.
Sorry.
It is for federal elections.
Sorry. It's a federal constitution,
and
guys.
You're right.
It's not the Wisconsin constitution.
You're right.
For once
on the Raucous Caucus, I'll admit Terry's right.
Oh, this is second
this
time.
Maybe, I don't recall another time.
Yeah, my name is McLaughlin. You're all wrong. There's somebody named Scalia who said we cannot allow voting in Florida under any circumstances.
Yeah, you come to think of it, with the Supreme Court that we have now, voting in, it's an unnecessary privilege.
It's an undue burden. We're telling the Syrians and the Iraqis they have to have democracy, but we stop voting over here.
Remember under the Bush administration they talked about exporting democracy, and I think they exported pretty much all of it.
I think so. Yeah,
yeah, you know, jobs, democracy, all went
money, England. All of it.
Yeah. They've subcontracted it actually.
You're right.
But at least our new rulers, the Koch brothers, they're fat and happy, and we can bow down to them, and they like it very much. So
we need a golden alter to the top one-tenth of 1%.
The Koch brothers are the top 1/1,000,000th of 1%.
You're right, yeah.
They're like the third and fourth richest people in the United States.
They need to diversify. They should start doing Oxycontin as well.
Yeah. I want to be serious just for one minute, guys, and plug, because it is WPFW, What's at Stake tomorrow morning. We're going to be interviewing this incredible author and thinker. In fact, he's actually labeled by a number of respectable, knowledgeable people as one of the great thinkers of our time.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it.
Garland. His name is Charles Eisenstein, and his book is Sacred Economics, Money, Gift, and Society in the Age of Transition. And his book actually is so profound in terms of what doesn't work in our country and how it can be fixed. And the message and the methods are going to astound
Before we go off there, we do have a guest. We have Ramey, who's been with us the whole time. I want to thank you very much.
Great show, Ramey,
for having me.
How does it feel to be surrounded by the three of us talking nonstop?
It's better than being with the Three Stooges almost.
Not a lot different.
You survived this hour.
I thought it would be so hard to fill 60 minutes. I couldn't have done it without you guys. But Mike Wallace,
we could fill hours. Let me tell you.
But let me tell you one thing. We've got to stop this narrative that it doesn't play in Peoria. It's got to operate in Oshkosh.
Mark,
if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do
that?
Go
to my Facebook page. It's the Mark Levine fan page. Say hello to me there. You can join up. I also have a website, marklevinetalk.com, where I play every Raucous Caucus episode we've ever done that's ever been recorded. You can check it out. You can type in the topic.
You can tell your friends.
You can actually type in the topic and go and find Raucous Caucus and all the other stuff I do, TV
and
stuff.
And
like
you know, we got to mention, you can do that on WPFW.org, too.
But it only goes back so far. Mine goes back further.
Oh, so it can go back all the way for years and years and years?
It does. Wow. As long as Raucous Caucus has been around.
When the earth cooled and the dinosaurs started meandering around.
Wait a minute. This just in. I just got a letter from the FCC that said, you're listening to FM Washington 89.3 WPFW.
Oh, well, Ramey right. wanted to say that. Oh, he really oh, wanted right, to say Ramey, that.
You
got a station right. idea. Yes, way to go.
In every idea you want.
They're not going to have me on again.
That's okay.
Don't care.
In fact, I think next week when we come in, Ramey will be in there. You know, all none of our cards will work
that's
at the door.
True. That's
there'll
true.
Be again, no voting here.
We are in studio next week. Do not go to Ben's. They are under construction, so you won't want to go there. Just listen to the Raucous Caucus. We'll have another entertaining show full of sagacity, except when Terry's here. And then you can call it.
The doctor's sagacity is here. That is the only way to guarantee sagacity. You can get a second opinion, of course,
that's
but it won't
right.
do you any good.
Yes.
We out of time?